السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ثلاث دعوات مستجابات لا شك فيهن: دعوة المسافر، ودعوة الوالد لولده، ودعوة المظلوم، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته.
We have been for the last few weeks discussing the nafs and the shaitan. What are the tricks? How to combat them? But today, I wish to discuss, go off topic for this week and go discuss another topic due to its importance and due to its relevance. Because today, the mother of one of my teachers, one of my ustads, Mufti Hussain Mota Sahib, Hafizahullah, passed away. May Allah Ta'ala forgive her. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala forgive all of us. May Allah Ta'ala fill her grave with nur. Make it expansive for her. Make it a garden from the gardens of Jannah. So, upon this incident, it came to mind that this passing away of the mother of my ustad, it brought to mind that there are three groups of people who have rights over us, but in this day and age, their rights and their importance are very much neglected. What are these three groups which came to mind when this happened? The first is our parents. The second is our ustads, those who have taught us dini knowledge, religious knowledge. And the third is those people who have passed away. These are three groups of people that have rights over us. The deen encourages us to behave in a certain manner with them. But unfortunately, having regard for all three of these groups have been lost. Let us start with the parents. The mentality of our deen is vastly different to the secular mentality. Secular mentality is parents are my parents. Okay, they gave birth to me, they looked after me when I was young. But now I'm an adult. I don't have no obligation to them. The mentality of deen is the complete opposite. Deen says that a person has a huge obligation to his parents. Why? The first and foremost reason being that in reality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator. He is the one who brought us into existence. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose our parents as the means for it. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose our parents as a means for us to come into existence, this is a huge favor of theirs upon us. If we are struggling, if we are in a hole, we are really struggling financially, we are really, really in need of money. Maybe, you know, we have a debt to pay off and it needs to be paid off tomorrow. And someone comes, whether it is a relative, whether it is anyone else, and they, at the last moment, they gift you that wealth. Or they help you out, whether it is a loan or whether it is a gift. How indebted will we feel to them? We will feel hugely indebted to them. Our heart will tell us that this person has done us a great favor. At that time, we will not think, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who helped me, so I don't need to thank this person. No, despite understanding that it is Allah ta'ala who helped me, we will still feel hugely indebted to this person. Yes, Allah ta'ala must put it into this person's heart and mind. He used this person to help me, but because Allah ta'ala used this person, I feel indebted to him. He has a huge favor over me. There is no favor greater than us coming into existence. All other favors that we receive are based on that. So yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us into existence, but the people he used as means hold a huge favor over us. And because there is this connection between Allah ta'ala and the parents, Allah ta'ala is a real created the real being who brought us into existence, but Allah ta'ala used the parents. So frequently, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his right, he mentions the right of the parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. Allah ta'ala, your Rabb has decreed, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا, that you don't worship anyone except him, the right of Allah. After that, you obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and you treat your parents well. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, we took an oath from Banu Israel. We took an oath, meaning we took an oath and we emphasized certain commands to them, to the people of Musa alayhi salam. What was the first one? لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, you don't worship anyone except Allah, the right of Allah. What was the second one? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, you treat your parents well. Numerous times, Allah Ta'ala brings it in the Quran. And in Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some advices of Sayyidina Luqman. Sayyidina Luqman, according to some Mufassirin, he was a Nabi, alayhim as-salam. And according to some, he was not a Nabi, but he was a great wali and a friend of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala gave him special wisdom. And his words are so valuable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw fit to bring them in the Quran, an entire page of his advice, in particular his advice to his son. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one occasion when he gave advice to his son. And the first advice he gave to his son was, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah. Oh my beloved son, la tushrik billah, don't associate anyone with Allah. Inna shirka la zulmun azeem. Associating anyone with Allah, disbelieving Allah, is a very great wrong. The second advice he gave his son was, Ya bunayya innaha in taku mithqala habbatin min khardalin fi as-sama'i aw fi al-ardi yati biha Allah. Oh my beloved son, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is so complete that even if something is hidden, so whatever is hidden, if something is hidden anywhere in the heavens or the earth, and it is so tiny that it is equal to an atom, a small ant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where it is. If he needs to, he can bring it in front of him. Meaning that whenever you do an action, do not ever think that my action was completely hidden. No one saw me doing the action. It was behind closed doors. It was in the four corners of my room. Don't ever have this mentality that my action, okay, I did this, okay, I did that, no one else knows. No, no, يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it on the day of judgment. That is the second advice he gave. Now the first advice he gave was, worship Allah ta'ala. Don't associate anyone with Allah. And then he gave us a second advice, and a third advice, and a fourth advice as well, multiple advice. Pieces of advice are mentioned in the Quran. But between his first advice and his second advice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inserted some verses from his own side. A piece of advice from his own side, which is not part of the advice of Luqman alayhi salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inserted it between the first piece of advice and the second piece of advice. And what is that? وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. We emphasize to insan, to the human. What did we emphasize? In regard to his parents. So Luqman alayhi salam didn't mention this at number two. He mentioned something else at number two. He didn't mention the parents right at all. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that it is so important that the right of the parent is mentioned immediately after the right of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala broke up the two advice of Luqman alayhi salam and brought this advice in the middle. And my teacher and Shaykh Hazim alayhi salim Durat Sahib Hafidhullah, he mentioned that naturally a person feels a noble person, a person of good character, he feels embarrassed to tell someone else of his own right. He feels embarrassed to tell someone else of his own right. The parents often feel embarrassed to tell the children, you know, obey me. You must listen to what I am saying. Even though they are not saying it because I want my rights, no, they are saying it because for my son it is necessary for his hereafter. But still they will feel that embarrassment. If there is someone of ilm and alim, he will feel embarrassed to tell people that you must respect the ulama. Even though he knows that it is necessary for the dini progress, why will he feel embarrassed? Because it's natural. Your own right, you feel, if a person is noble, he feels embarrassed to mention it. So Luqman alayhi salam didn't mention after the right of Allah, he didn't mention that, oh my son, you must obey me, you must respect me, you must treat me well. Why? Because he felt a certain degree of embarrassment, like a noble person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite that, inserted it in the middle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدِهِ. We emphasize to insan, to the human, regarding his parents. And then at the end of the verse, the sentence is completed. أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. That be grateful to me and to your parents. In the same sentence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be grateful to me and to your parents. Meaning, what does gratefulness mean? Gratefulness means someone has done a favor upon us. And in return, we behave as we should with that person, with that being. And obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his favors cannot compare with anyone else. But the favors of the parents are so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts them in the same sentence when mentioning that be grateful to me. Wali walidayk, can be grateful to your parents. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانِ بِوَالِدَيْهِ أَنِشْكُرُ لِي وَلِي وَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرُ. But in the middle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something else about the parents, and in particular about the mother. Because the mother's right is greater than the father's right. And the reason for that is because the mother has greater favors upon the child. The mother has done more for the child. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? حَمَلَتُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ. His mother carried him in the womb. وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ. With weakness upon weakness. What does that mean? That the mother carried him. That is something, a difficult task. It brings a lot of weakness on the mother. And as the mother progresses in the pregnancy, it gets more difficult. Weakness upon weakness. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. And then after that, in the next 1.5-2 years, feeding him, and then eventually weaning him off, this is all a very difficult period, the most difficult period. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the favor so that a person understands, a person feels indebted. In the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, there was a person who came to Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah. And he had just finished performing Hajj with his elderly mother on his shoulders. He had just finished performing Hajj with his elderly mother on his shoulders. So he performed Hajj and he made his mother, elderly mother perform the Hajj on his shoulders. She was weak, so she was excused. Anyone who has been for Hajj will tell you that the few days of Hajj are difficult enough for a person, for a young, fit person, they are difficult. And for a person to push a wheelchair in our time, in those days, in the days of Hajj, is even more difficult. We cannot even imagine how difficult it must be to carry someone on your shoulders for those few days. In the span of a number of days, it's the amount of walking goes into the tens of the miles, and not in English weather, 40, 50 degrees. So a huge mujahada, and he does it with his mother on his shoulders. And then after he finishes, he sees Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the great Sahabi, and he comes to him and he says that I have done this, I have performed Hajj with my mother on my shoulders. So, have I fulfilled her right? Meaning, have I done enough that I can say that the great favors that she gave, she did upon me, she showered upon me, I have returned it. You know what Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said? He said, no. In fact, that one single sigh of pain in the pangs of labor, you have not even done enough to pay that back. One single sigh of pain during the labor process when she was giving birth to you, you haven't even done enough yet to repay her for that. The parents' right is so great that if someone's parents are not Muslims, and with being non-Muslim, they also command him to do wrong. They command him to do wrong. Then the hukam of the command of Sharia is that you cannot obey them, because لا طاعة للمخلوق في معصية الخالق. However important someone is, that importance is less than the importance of the command of Allah Ta'ala. So you cannot obey them. But my parents tell me to do something which is wrong, I cannot obey them. But does that mean I tell them off? I foul mouth them? No. The Quran says, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِهِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعُهُمَا. Don't obey them. But وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Make sure you stay with them in a good manner. Don't make that an excuse to treat them badly, to say ill words to them. And in fact, their importance is so much that if there is something which is compulsory, salah is compulsory, and they tell you not to perform it, then you cannot listen to them. But you must make sure you still treat them with respect. You shouldn't even say, what are you talking about, mother? What are you talking about, father? No, still treat them with respect. When they tell you to break the command of Allah, and if they tell you to stop doing something which is optional, if they tell you to do stop doing something which is optional, then their command takes preference. Their command takes preference. There is a story in the Ahadith that there was a pious person in the Banu Israel by the name of Juraij, rahmatullahi alayhi. He was a pious person, and he had his own place, a small hut or so, somewhat separate, because he decided I want to spend a lot of my time in the worship of Allah Ta'ala. Once he was in his salah, and his salah was extremely long, he was in his salah, and his mother came for some task, and she said, Juraij, rahmatullah alayhi, in his salah, he started thinking, ummi wa salati, do I carry on my salah, or do I break my salah and listen to my mother? And he was unsure. It wasn't that he was, he was unsure. He did not understand, what shall I do? And in that confusion, he carried on with his salah. His mother went away. She came again, maybe the same day, maybe another day. And he was in salah again. And again she called his name. He said, he started thinking again, Ummi wa salati. And he was confused. Here I should mention that from this incident we will also understand how important ilm is. Because the Juraij rahmatullah alayhi, he was a very great worshipper of Allah Ta'ala and a very pious person. But his lack of knowledge in this situation, what lack of knowledge? That the command of deen is that break your nafal salah and listen to your mother. If it seems like it is something extremely important, and if it seems like something which you know that they will be able to wait, then quickly perform your, finish off your nafal salah then. But his lack of knowledge in this situation, because of that he was unable to take the correct decision of breaking his salah, and because of that he almost got into big trouble, as we will mention ahead. What happened? In that second time, a bad dua, a dua against him came out of the mouth of his mother. And the dua was that, oh Allah, before Juraij passes away, let him see the face of an evil woman. This dua came out of her mouth. And Juraij rahmatullah alayhi, probably didn't hear of it, he was busy in his salah. And soon afterwards, that is exactly what happened. What happens? There was a woman who had a bad habit in the locality. And when a person is pious, then people respect him. And when people respect him, then there are always a group of people who are jealous. So she went to such a group of people and they were talking about Juraij. Probably you some ill words against him because they were. So she said that if you want, I shall make him do something wrong. I shall place him into fitna. So they said okay. They were happy. So she went, and she tried to seduce Juraij rahmatullah. Now Juraij rahmatullah, he was a pious person. He ignored her advances. So in that area, in that locality, she found someone else who was ready to accept her advances. She fulfilled her evil intention with that person. And she became pregnant and expecting a child. When the child was born, she told people that this is the child of Juraij. This is the child of Juraij. Meaning he has committed zina with me and this is his child. The people heard this. And as unfortunately it is the case with people, when they hear something which arouses their emotion, they don't think about double checking. So they went and they tore down the hut of Juraij rahmatullah alayhi. Either he was there or whatever, they acted in haste. As the Juraij rahmatullah alayhi said, he said, stop, what is the matter? They said, we have heard this. As Juraij rahmatullah alayhi, after all, he was a very pious person. He said, call the child. He said, call the child. The child was brought. He poked the child and he said to the child, who is your father? The child mentioned the name of that other person. Then the people were happy. So the people said to Juraij rahmatullah alayhi that if you wish, in place of your hut, made out of basic materials, we will make you something very grand. So he said, no, I will prefer my hut. So our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this incident. And the commentators of hadith, they said that when Juraij was in his salah and he didn't listen to the call of his mother, and his mother made that bad dua, that oh Allah, that dua against him, that oh Allah, let him see the face of an evil woman before he passes away. Because of that dua, this happened. And he was lucky that his mother didn't make the dua, that oh Allah, let him fall into fitna because of an evil woman. If his mother had made that dua would have been accepted as well. That is the importance deen has given to the right of the parents. Between Jannah and Jahannam, there is a place called A'raf. Jannah is the place where those people who are more good than evil, they go. On the day of judgment, a person's deeds will be weighed. If he has more good, if the good outweighs the evil, he will go to Jannah. If the evil outweighs the good, he will go to Jahannam. And if he is exactly level, then there is a place between Jannah and Jahannam, which is known as A'raf. And that place, that person will be put into that place, the person whose deeds are exactly level. And in that place, a person can see both Jannah and Jahannam. And the people who are in that place, soon after some time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His grace upon them, and He will allow them to go into Jannah. He will allow them to go into Jannah. But from the ahadith, we understand that out of the people who will be in this place, one such person will be that person who the call to fight in the path of Allah came. The so-and-so army is going to fight. Who wants his joy? For a very great deed, but voluntary nonetheless. And this person, he went out in the path of Allah, but he went out without the permission of his parents. So he went out, and he gave up his life, and he gained the status of martyrdom and shaheed. A very, very high status. In the hadith it comes that when the shaheed, the martyr passes away, before his first drop of blood reaches the ground, he is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any sin of his. Every sin of his is forgiven. That is the status of a shaheed. And that is just one of the virtues of a shaheed. But this person, he gains martyrdom. But despite that, he did not take the permission of his parents. He did not make sure they were pleased, they were fine with him to go out in the path of Allah. So on one side, a very great deed, huge deed of martyrdom. On the other side, this seemingly small, in our time trivial, he didn't take the permission of his parents. But in the eyes of Allah, that good and that bad will be equal, and because of that he will not be allowed to go into Jannah, he will be between Jannah and Jahannam in A'raf. What does all of this tell us? That parents have huge importance. That is why in hadith, I am concluding now in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one person he came and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, you know, what are my rights? What are the rights of my parents? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in summary that huma jannatuka wa naru. They are your Jannah and your Jahannam. They are your Jannah and your Jahannam. Meaning you fulfill their rights, you're on the way to Jannah. And you don't fulfill their rights, then understand that you're on the way to Jahannam. So, in our time, this topic is extremely important because we know what the culture is. We know what the culture is, that no person is now willing to accept, especially when he gets the least thought of independence, that now I can look after myself. That my parents are important. My parents are important. Their wish is important. They should not feel hurt. How important are the parents? One final example I will mention. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are three du'as which are never rejected. Thalathu da'watin mustajabat. Mustajabat means accepted. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La shakka fihin. There is no doubt. Meaning three du'as are definitely accepted. One of them is da'watul walidi li waladi. The du'a of the parent for the child. Be it good or bad. That dua, because the parent makes for the child, the parent makes a good dua for the child because the child treats the parent well. Or the parent makes a dua against the child because the child treats the parent badly. Both duas are duas which are 100% guaranteed to be accepted. And the ulama have written that if someone's parent is a major sinner, and because of being extremely sinful, ordinarily none of the duas are accepted. Still, if the child is obedient to them and a dua comes out for the child, that dua will be accepted. And if the child is disobedient to them and a dua comes out against the child, that dua will be accepted. So, let us not take our parents lightly. Let us make sure they are happy with us at all times. They are much, much, much more important than our friends. And not only that, they have done much, much, much more than our friends. And when something bad happens in our life, then they feel it much, much, much more than our friends do. Logic and common sense tells us that as well. Never mind them. So let us first make sure that our parents are not displeased with us. This is the worst case scenario. This is, disobeying the parents is a major sin. And secondly, let us do all we can to please them. Let us never make them feel that they are second, third priority in our life. They don't have importance. They say something and it's not important to us. They say something as well and we know they won't punish us. No, no, our mentality should be, my father has said it, my mother has said it. And it's possible for me to fulfill and to make sure I fulfill it. Our friends should know that for this person, his parents, his father's wish comes first. If we want to take, if we ask him that, shall we go out this weekend? And his father has some, his mother has some task for him. Then he will say that, sorry, I'm unavailable. Everyone should know that. The parents should know that, and everyone else should know that as well. And let us, from time to time, go out of our way to make them happy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to give us this understanding. This is something which, through my limited experience, I have noticed that those people, those young people who are not so religious, but they keep their parents happy. Sooner or later, before the death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe not in the 20s, maybe not in the 30s, sooner or later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them on track. Through the barakah of the obedience of the parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring this into our life. Ameen. Wa khiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Everyone is requested that keep coming. If you can't come every week, try to come every second week, every third week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all.